My name is Mateus. I'm from Brazil. I will apologize for any mistakes of spelling, language, and stuff like that. So feel free to raise your hand if you don't understand something that I'm speaking. Okay. I'm going to be talking about how we moved in our company from ops to SRE. Actually, we are moving for our SRE. And for that, as I said, I'm Mateus. I have been the team leader for the last couple of years. I have been actually a sysadmin in the beginning, but now I'm actually the engineering manager for this team. And I have been working with scalable systems for over 10 years in a lot of areas, okay? Luis would be presenting this today with me, but he got food sick and he is not feeling very well. He's not here right now, so I apologize for his absence. Well, first I'm gonna be addressing what does this Brazilian startup do. I'll give a little bit of context, why ops is such a great area. I'm gonna talk a little bit of that. Then, why we did DevOps wrong, and why we are moving to SRE, and look at some takeaways from this presentation. Okay. So, Conta Azul is online ERP system. We are like Xero or Intuitive QuickBooks for guys here in US. We help small business to avoid some bureaucracy in Brazil. And if you guys heard, we are not only carnival and soccer, we also have a lot of bureaucracy. So this is why Conta Azul exists over there. We tend to help the small entrepreneurs to manage their company, okay? Also have accountants version for that. So as we say, in God you trust, others must bring numbers. So a little bit of numbers, as we are not so famous like the major companies from here. We have around 550 hundreds of users, and then over 1,000 requests per second, and over 26 services running on infrastructure. And now you guys know a little bit what we do and who you are. And I'm gonna talk about how we do it. Conta Azul actually is a company that exists only for 4 years. And then it was the first company, a Brazilian company, that got accelerated by the 500 startups here in the Silicon Valley. And the product that I showed you guys actually was launched only in 2011. Okay? So mainly we started in AWS, we use Java and Postgres. Yes, we are an old, boring, monolith Java application. And at that time, actually, the teams were free to choose. They were more comfortable with Java and Postgres, so they chose that. And also, the teams also had to manage all the stuff that they should operate. And they chose that, and also they had to take care of backups and rollbacks and roll forwards and things like that, deploys. But as you guys always know, the product was always over prioritized against the operations until something breaks. And that was counterintuitive. And as we are growing over 100% yearly, we decided to create an operations team. Okay. So I think most of you guys here are sysadmins or from the operations background. So I also came from this area, and I can relate many times that something didn't make sense for the ops teams to handle, but they end up under operational responsibility. Maybe the user can't log in the system, and actually is the antivirus that is forbidding him, but there he goes, the ops team. Don't know, the Gmail from the manager is not showing some images, and then the ops guy also is called. In the core, operations, the term operations, is actually such a broad definition that usually is more harmful for the company than useful. So just saying that, we had a lot of operation phases. As we were a small startup in the beginning, we had actually no sysadmins, no operation. We started only with the dev team. Then we got the counterproduct measures. Then we said, okay, we need some ops guys to work and solve this. And as I said, the gray area did happen with the operations teams, and all the IT stuff started to fall under the operations team. And the same person was doing the IT, the operations, the backup, the deployments, and stuff like that. There was no devs at the time. In the second phase, we just realized that wasn't working. So we just started to build more and more squads of engineering. In the first phase was around like 20 developers, and then in the second phase we were around 40 developers. And then we was just racing for the operations team, the operations guy. Okay, we have to put more operations guys on those teams. And then we placed the operations guys on those teams, and then what happened? Actually, these guys were overwhelmed with the product feature, the product development, and when we just realized we didn't have any more operations guys. They were willing to do the operations things, but the product manager and the product things were not actually letting them do that. So we split this operations team from IT and brought the devs to the ops team. And also at this point, I also fired myself from this team. I was not a very good developer. I was more like a manager or stuff like that. And I said, okay, you guys can continue to do this stuff. You guys do better than me. And we are actually now in the fourth phase. As I said, we now have a team where we call the SRE team. We removed all non-coders from this team. And also, we brought more devs for these SRE teams. And as I said, we did DevOps wrong. Because on those phases, we are just realizing, oh, we have to start to do DevOps. And we placed the operations on this team. And as the operation load was increasing, the software engineering team started to hand in the ops work. And actually, the software engineers liked the idea of DevOps, but they were not really into doing the real DevOps work. They were not willing to get their hands dirt. So they were just pushing the things to the operations guy that was called the DevOps engineer. We started calling them the DevOps engineer. And as you guys know, DevOps is more a culture than a job itself. And when we realized it, we weren't doing DevOps, we weren't doing any of the SRE on the teams, since there were no SRE left on the team. So DevOps had became a job, not a culture. Until like an outage. Outage always happens. Until an outage happens, and then we look to the past and say, okay, what happened? And then we saw there were no people looking at the reliability of the product itself. Okay. And why we choose to move to SRE? As I spoke, we started to call DevOps a whole and not a culture thing. We made a little mistakes. We started as a small company, and now we are around 300 person, and now we can have many of the organization and the structure that most of the company have. But we are trying to move to SRE. We are moving to SRE because actually takes us out of the gray area that operations is called, and we can define it clearly, and it can define us better on what we do in the company. Because these things, we already do blameless postmortem, we already are doing root cause analysis, we have action plan for root cause analysis, we have monitoring, metric systems, all the things that you guys are seeing in this group of SRE. And also we have all the coders. We started sharing the coders from the pool of the software development team with the software reliability engineer team. And now we are actually figuring out that the product have to invest in the reliability. We have to have people put in the operations and not take them away when it feels comfortable. We are trying to focus more on reliability ahead. So this is the structure that we are using right now. We have a tools team that build things like CI, continuous delivery, centralized logging, templates for Docker files, stuff like that. We have the software engineering team, and we have the SRE team, and they are all together in the engineering team nowadays. Okay, and we are currently in the steps of finishing error budgets, as you guys saw the presentation from Chris on Google. We are trying to figure out what is the key indicators for the error budgets, not only the reliability or in the service itself, but as the business view or the user, what they care, what the system needs to be up and running. When you talk about 26 systems integrated and talking itself, it's not only looking at the core monolith, but in the other systems also. The circuit breaker, as we move it to the microservices, we are trying to strangle the monolith because it's too big right now. We are trying to strangle the monolith and build more microservices on its sides. So, we just started to see problems like outages because of critical dependency between the systems and stuff like that. So circuit breaker that Netflix releases, they released the Eastrix. We are using that. That's giving a lot of good nights of sleep. And also, as we built some of the microservices, they actually need some refactoring. Now we are seeing that. And so when we began, we are just a monolith. Then we start to build all this environment, and then got a lot of complex. So from this presentation, what I can give you guys is actually hire only coders from the beginning. I think it's already said, but I like to emphasize that because we'll save you from a lot of trouble. Clear, define, and communicate the team responsibility. It's something that we undermine and say, okay, sometimes we do that, and then when you see things got out of control. Care about the engineering culture and avoid hyper terms like the DevOps and terms like that. Care more about the job and who is doing stuff than the terms. We get a little mess with that. And also, I'm borrowing this from the presentation from Chris, is reliability is a product feature, not a role. We are here, but actually the product needs to pay together with the dev team, with the operations team, the price for the systems being reliable. And also, don't let the PO or the product manager use the software reliability engineers as an alternative for his shortage of personnel as a workaround. Well, it's a short presentation. If you guys have any questions, I'm welcome.
What steps did you take to
use the microphone?
So what steps did you take to convince the rest of the company to buy into the SRE culture?
Actually, it's kind of organic, you know, because when we started to do, we didn't any root cause analysis and stuff like that when I joined the company. I actually brought that in for the root cause. And then when I started to realize what are the causes that were happening for the outages, when you start to cluster that information together and look, if you actually do a root cause analysis, we saw that most of the problem came from the structure, because the software structure also influenced how the teams are organized. And when we started to see how the teams were organized and how we ourselves were organized, we saw that was causing more problems than benefits. So the steps were, we look and we saw, okay, we have a problem of definition, communication, and we brought that in with some numbers.
Cool. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, this is about like on-call. How did you distribute the on-call responsibilities during the transition? Because I know that whole culture, that mindset, is pretty difficult for some developers to get. And as you're getting more coders in there, how did you deal with that whole concept of going on call?
Yeah. On call, actually, for us, is not a huge problem, because all the team members are very operation-wise, can I say. But actually, when we have to do on call, we are using like VictorOps to help us with the schedule and stuff like that, because otherwise you're gonna be mad trying to control all the schedules and who's available, who's not available. And we tend to look at least or get notification at least 2 person at a time, so one do not fail. No more questions? Okay, thank you so much. Oh, sorry, one more question then. Back.
So I just wanted to know, how long did it take for you to transition from just being ops to IT ops, then DevOps, and to SRE?
Have been 2 years. 2 years, because we are trying most of these things on the way we are running the company. I have been in the company for 2 years. When I joined the company, I started looking, okay, we need to change some things, and we are starting to look at some of this information and see how we are doing is not how it's expected. Actually, the background of the company is more of developers than operations. And I went to the company with this operations mindset, and then we started to try those things, like the ops team distributed was like for a whole semester that we ran, then until we realized that there were no more operations in the other team, was like one semester again. So things, they're kind of slow to, you realize when they are happening, actually. If you are not looking, you are not aware, you know. So usually you have to be looking for some of these inputs to take action. And we were not looking, actually. We are just seeing things happening And then just happen sometimes, you know, tipo, you have to figure a way to work around some of the problems. So there's no silver bullet, you know. You look for the silver bullet, but that ain't. So that. Okay. Thank you.